A Turkish-born American CEO is taking the European refugee crisis into his own hands. Chobani yogurt founder Hamdi Ulukaya has pledged half of his personal wealth to helping displaced people around the world. He recently traveled to Greece, where he saw the plight of refugees firsthand. In this week's View from the Top, Hamdi Ulukaya joins us from New York City. Hamdi, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Sure. You visited the island of Lesbos in Greece this month. Was it as bad as you thought it would be?
Yeah, it was worse than I thought it would be, simply because I thought it's Greece, it's Europe. They left the trouble areas and they finally made it this island, and the condition would be better. I mean, I'm not talking about emotional condition, but at least the humanitarian, you know, needs on the ground, I thought would be much, much better. But I was very disappointed.
Well, yeah, what did you see there?
You know, here it is. This is an island closest to Turkey. When they make it there, they're horrified because most of them, it's a living or dying journey. When they get there, you would assume that there would be tents, there would be housing, there would be food, there would be a cup of soup at least. None of that. There are some humanitarian workers on the ground that are trying their best. But of course, there's very limited what they can do. So it could be a week, it could be 2 days, it could be in a month sometimes, what we heard. They're just left alone. Hmm. That's how it is.
I can hear it in your voice. It is personal to you, isn't it?
It is. You know, I'm Kurdish. I know this issue really well. And, you know, these are the people I know. These are the people familiar to me. These are the people, the faces are very, very familiar to me. Hmm. And as a human being, anyone who lives anywhere in the world, when you see it, you know, sometimes reading in the news, you know, might not get the real picture, but when you see them, when you talk to them, you know, it's just heartbreaking.
So for you, it's like you can almost see the face of your mother or your neighbor there.
Exactly. You know, this spring when ISIS attacked Yazidis, which is a very small minority, you know, they're Kurdish. And there was this picture in New York Times, this woman who had his two hands up in the air. And from this picture, you could tell how much she is screaming, what is the end? How am I going to get out of this? Mm. And that was the picture. It really, I saw, this is exactly how my mother looked. This is exactly people in the woman in the village would look. And this is the scream of hopelessness. And can anybody hear this? Can we hear this?
Well, to this cause, to the cause of refugees, you're dedicating the majority of your personal wealth. Forbes puts it at $1.4 million.
Yeah, I come from a very simple family. Village and a shepherds. I had a beautiful childhood in the mountains of, you know, eastern part of Turkey in the Kurdish mountains and, you know, making cheese and yogurt. And all the memories I have is the most beautiful one. And, you know, I lived in a place where money didn't mean anything, really. You just didn't have stores to go buy anything. You didn't have, you know, it was just a piece of paper. Hmm. So throughout my life, when I made it here, I needed a reason to do what I wanted to do. I never thought I would be in the business, but I ended up in the world of business, which I'm so glad I did. But early on when I started, I had to do this for a reason that's more than wealth and more than money. And that kept me going. And I wanted to make sure that the rest of my life is, while I'm doing what I'm doing, is goes into the right places and make the world a better place and humanity a better place. So this issue, when I got in touch this year, that I found out is biggest humanitarian issue ever out there since World War II. And it's all in the hands of governments and the UN and people like us, ordinary people like us and, you know, your listeners. We don't know how big this is. So I immediately made a decision that this is the cause that I would like to get involved, and this is the cause that I'd like to spend what I have, and this is what I'm going to do going forward.
You know, it is a bold statement. It's a very bold statement. It's a lot of money, and it says to me that you don't trust what the governments have been able to do. Is that right? Is it that you feel like something is lacking on the response from the governments?
Absolutely. I mean, who could argue with that? Who could argue with that these millions of people are fleeing from their homes and on the road and dying in the water? And, you know, World War II all over again, you know, have we not learned anything from there? You know, from the preventive perspective, we knew this was going to happen. What do you think? You know, all this bombing going and, you know, all these horrifying things are going. We knew these people were going to move. And yet we never done anything. And yet, you know, you go to the island of Lesbos, there is no tent. And if there is tent, there is nothing in the ground to sleep on. The kids are sleeping on the ground.
Okay, so how about some advice from the CEO of Chobani to the politicians of Europe then? What would they do to solve this problem?
You know, the first, you know, while we are dealing our politics and international relations around the globe, let's put the human being in the center of this. You know, that's why you have this UN. Get together and make sure that the conditions of people who are displaced and being refugees are humanly, you know, taken care of. We want to make sure that there are leaders up there, that they really care and they're very passionate about it and they immediately do something about it. Mindset of entrepreneurs, mindset of a CEO, mindset of a business that only difference is the outcome, the profit is making people's life better. So that kind of way needs to come in. And I'll tell you, David, refugees themselves, you'll find this very interesting, they're using the modern tools to find themselves a road to go to Germany or Sweden, like Facebook and, you know, WhatsApp. And they communicate with the 21st century's, you know, devices. But yet, the way that we register them, the way that we welcome them or we receive them, is the condition of World War II.
Well, let's talk about your business for a minute. 30% of your production employees, they're refugees.
Yes.
How does that work? Do you bring them in from agencies, or how do you find them?
Well, this was, you know, the second year I started my factory in upstate New York, you know, all the locals and farmers and people in the community, we start working, and we kept hiring as the Chobani start growing. And I've heard that Utica, which I used to live at that time, in town of Utica, beautiful town, in a field of immigrants from all over the world. So I heard that there are refugee centers that people come from, again, all over the world, that they're having a hard time finding a job. So I went there myself. And I said, what if we employ them in our plant? And she was very surprised. Of course, usually they try to go to the businesses, knock doors to see if they can employ them. She said, do you realize that there is a barrier of language here? I said,
exactly.
I do. And similar to me, when I came to this country, I never knew a word of English. I said, we can get by. We can hire some translators. And then the second barrier was, do you realize that most of them don't have driver license yet that they can drive? I said, well, we can get some public transportations to get them. So we you know, proactively worked on it.
Right. Well, Hamdi, these barriers that you talk about, they're expensive. And as the United States talks about bringing more refugees into this country by 2017, the Secretary of State says it'll be up to 100,000. These people are going to have to work somewhere, and it's fine for you to bring them into your factory and to work on the barriers that you talk about, language being one of them, but that's expensive. Can you expect other businesses to do what you did?
Yes, I do. You know, let's not look at them as I am giving them something. You know, its job is provided. But don't forget, every single one of them also provides so much to the business and the community. You know, when I was in Lesbos, I talked to so many different families. These are people, they're not people that they don't know anything. They're engineers, they're lawyers. There was one gentleman who was a machine mechanic.
And is it hard for them to work in your factory coming from that background?
It's good because then, you know, you have, you know, quality workforce. Imagine if someone who left from the place where they were comfortable, they've gone through so much emotions, physically and psychologically, and they survived. They made it to a new place. When you are in this mindset, when you went through this whole thing, you are the most productive person you will be. Nothing will scare you anymore. So let's look at the refugees in a way, not something that burdened the society, but it's also an opportunity for the society.
Hamdi Ulakaya is a founder, CEO, and chairman of Chobani, the Greek yogurt company based in upstate New York, dedicating the majority of his fortune to helping the refugee crisis. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.